The last week I shared that I would like to spend this week just going over some practical ways that we could take these four thoughts and four steps and apply them to our lives as we try to live gospel above all lives. The type of lives that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1, which I had no idea Aaron was going to share that verse, and he had no idea that that was going to be our text this morning. In Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is very strange because it's natural to be ashamed. It's natural to be ashamed of the gospel. And Paul says it very clearly himself in 1 Corinthians 1. He says the message of the cross is foolishness. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but yet to those who have believed and are being saved, that message is the power of God that we talked about. And he repeated himself in just a few verses later, a few lines later, where he says, we preach Christ crucified, which is the gospel. But to the Jews, that message is a stumbling block. And to the Greek philosophers, it's foolishness. And yet you and I, we gather together to sing praises about the message of the gospel every Sunday. Some of you give large portions of your income because you believe in the message of the gospel and you want it to go across the world. Some of you have given years and even decades in some cases of your life serving God specifically with the message of the gospel. It's not foolish to us, so why would the world think it's foolish? Why would many Christians be ashamed of this message? I think it's fairly simple. It's because it's an outlandish message. So let's think about what we believe. That there's a God who has a son, a perfect son, and he loved him so much that when he looked down on earth at you and me, who we don't serve him the way we should, we're very rebellious people. But he looked down at us little flakes of dust, and he says, I love that piece of dirt named Brian Hassey so much. I'm going to send my perfect son, who I love as much as I could, I'm going to send him to the earth. He's going to be born of a virgin, he's going to live with a poor couple in a poor town. He's going to grow up and he's going to live a perfect life, even being tempted of in every way that everyone on earth is tempted. He's going to be tempted the same way. He will never sin. And yet what's going to happen to him at the end of his life is he is going to be crucified to a cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for those balls of dirt. Because I love those balls of dirt so much more than that. So much that I'm willing to send my son to save them. And after Jesus was crucified, he was placed into a tomb, and 3 days later, of his own power, he rose from the grave, and 40 days after that, he, of his own power, ascended in front of all of these people back into the heaven, and today he sits at the right hand of the Father awaiting the day where he's going to come back to make these balls of dirt his children forevermore. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Foolish. And Paul knew that. And Paul said, I'll even make myself a fool for Christ's sake. But there's one thing I won't be. I won't be ashamed of that message. And he says it so clearly in Romans chapter 1, which will be our text this morning. He says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says this, the gospel is God's power, it's God's salvation, it's God's righteousness. Hey, the gospel is all about God. It's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about my works and my righteousness and my strength and what I can do. In fact, it's not about anything I can do. The gospel is all about what Jesus has already done on my behalf. And Paul says, I'm not going to be ashamed of that message. He got it. He says, from start to finish, the gospel is all about God. It's from God. It's his plan of salvation. It's through God. Jesus says, I am the way. It's by God. Jesus went to the cross. He raised himself from the grave. And the gospel is to God. When you allow the gospel to work in your life, guess what you get? Oh, not golden streets. Well, you get that. Not just a good feeling. Oh, you might get that. You know what the reward of the gospel is? God. The gospel, from start to finish, is all about God. And to a world that lives lives all about me, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to tell me that I can be a good person and it doesn't matter? Whatever. You're going to tell me that I'm on the same level ground as someone who lives like that or isn't as smart as me or doesn't have as much money or power or prestige as me? And the gospel says nothing you do matters. It is all from God. It is all through God. And eventually the gospel is all about taking you to God. The gospel is God's plan to get me to God, so I can become more like God, so I can live more for God until I live forever with God. Do we get just foundational? The gospel is all about God. And Paul said, of that, I'm not ashamed. But that boldness isn't natural. Christians inside of this room, Christians all over the world, who really understand the facts of the gospel. We get it. Jesus died for our sins in our place so that we can have our sins forgiven, so we can have a relationship with God the Father, so we can live forever in heaven. We get those facts. Those facts don't change our lives sometimes, though. And without true belief and purposeful actions, we will never become the disciple-making community with hearts of faith, moved by the promises of God contained in the gospel. We must make purposeful choices to place the gospel above all. And that's what I want to share with you today. As we talked just about last week, knowing the gospel deeply, showing the gospel daily, growing in the gospel in community, and going with the gospel to the world. And that's what this little paper is about today. And I want to walk you through some practical steps on how do we know the gospel deeply? How can we show the gospel daily? How can we grow in the gospel in community? And how can we go with the gospel to the world? Let me begin first with knowing the gospel deeply. This week I started reading a book that Jamie had on our bookshelf that I think it was a Bible study she had done with Carolyn called The Discipline of Grace by Jerry Bridges. As I began reading it, the first chapter was really powerful. And give me just a moment of your mind. He talks about spiritually good and spiritually bad days. And I think you can relate with this, at least I know I can. There are those spiritually good days when you have a good day. And you know what? You don't mind going to God and asking things of God on those days. Well, kind of because you feel like, I had a good day. Hey, God, you kind of owe me on this one. But then we also have those spiritually bad days, right? Where, like, you know you failed quite a few times. And on those days, we don't even go to God. We don't even bother going to God because we know on those spiritually bad days, well, I mean, like, God's not going to answer any prayer that I pray because, like, look at what I did today. Look at how I failed to live a spiritual life today. So we don't ever bother to go to God. And he went on and he said, but what is actually happening on those days, you're very aware of your spiritually bad days. You're just far more aware of the sin that is within you. And therefore, you're more aware of the grace that you need from God. But on those good days, we somehow have convinced ourselves that we don't need the grace of God as much because, well, we could do it on our own. And he went on to say, make this statement, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, the truth is there's never a day when we can stand before God on our own performance and be worthy of his blessing. Doesn't matter how good of a day you had, that doesn't all of a sudden make you worthy of standing before God on your own two feet under your own performance that day and say, I'm worthy of your blessing. He went on and made this statement, and I loved it. Your worst days, and I've had them, are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And amen to that. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. Oh, how powerful. No matter the day, whether good or bad, God's grace will reach me. And no matter the day, whether good or bad, I am in need of God's grace reaching me. Because, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you my own life, to be honest, I often spend much of my life trying to live the Christian life through my own self-power, self-motivation, through my own character and discipline and integrity, rather than, as Aaron mentioned this morning, what is available to us? The power of God in the gospel. And this is why, day after day, whether we had a good day or a bad day, whether we are having a good day or a bad day, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. Because we need to be reminded on our good day that the only righteousness we have to stand before God with is the righteousness that Jesus freely gave to me, regardless of what I have done. But I also need to be reminded on the bad days that I can stand before God, because I stand before Him in the righteousness that Jesus freely gave me, and it had nothing to do with what I have done. Preaching the gospel to myself every day has just made a huge difference. And as I mentioned last Sunday, we're going to try to take two practical steps in knowing the gospel deeply. So if you'll notice on this paper here, there's a number of gospel devotionals that are listed. Some of you are way ahead and you're already involved in different devotions and you're set. But let's be honest, there's some of us in here who, we read our Bible every day, but we do it sometimes quickly, sometimes distractedly. And what I want to do is I want us to continue to feed first from the Word of God, but bring a vitamin supplement of simple gospel truth to help us grow deeper in the gospel. And in just a moment, there's a video that's going to show you these couple of gospel devotionals that you might be interested in adding to your life. But I don't want to just add a gospel devotional to our life. I also want us to begin to bring a community of people who are going to be willing to share growth in the gospel this year with me. And so we're gonna form some gospel circles. And on that paper, it tells you what we're going to do in just a moment. We're either going to say, hey, I really like one of those devotionals, and so I'm going to go to the place where those devotionals are located. And you see here, it says, My Heart Cries Out, and then the Gospel Primer. We made some extra spaces on the side so that people could gather in those locations. And so you say, I want to go, and I want to read that devotion, and I want to find someone who will read that devotion with me. Or number two, you just walk up to a friend or walk up to even somebody you don't know and say, I would like to grow in the gospel with you this year. And then you could pick whatever book that you want to. But it's more than just reading. It's about sharing and growing together. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a video, and then I'll give you a little bit more instructions. But these are the gospel devotionals that are listed right in front of you. Again, just some practical ways that we can understand more as we take a gospel devotional into a gospel circle.
My Heart Cries Out by Paul Tripp. Now, it's not like the Daily Bread. I love that devotional book. But this one, it takes some compact gospel truths and it squeezes it down to one page so that I can slow down, think deeply on the gospel and all the issues that are going on in my heart right now, and then reflect it back to God's truth and His Word. We hope that you find this devotional book encouraging.
Last year, I used two different gospel devotionals every single morning to help me grow in my understanding of just some elementary and yet very exciting truths of the gospel. One was called The Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. Simple paragraph every day about an elementary gospel truth that really helped grow my understanding. Second was New Morning Mercies by Paul Tripp. That man really allowed the truths of the gospel to explode in a way to daily apply to my life. This year, I've started the year with J.D. Greer's Gospel 90-Day Devotional. And man, I'm very excited about the truth that is already exciting in my heart. Any one of those would be great for you.
One of my favorite devotionals is Everyday Prayers by Scotty Smith. It's very gospel-centered. It's easy to read, but it's very deep in gospel truths. This is actually my second year that I've done this, and I never go away empty. So it's a great devotional if you really, really, really are interested in having a deep, gospel-centered, quiet time with the Lord.
Hey, church family, I just want to let you know of a great devotional by a guy named John DeVries. He was a missionary to India, and he wrote a 40-day devotional called Why Pray? And man, it is a phenomenal book. Just little snippets, like just a couple pages, easy to read, but has so encouraged me in praying gospel prayers to the Lord. So maybe if you're challenged by a year-long book and you want something a little simpler, maybe the 40 days of Why Pray would be helpful to you.
Hello, church family. A devotion book that I've been using for the past 6 months is entitled Embraced by Lisa Turkhurst. She starts off each day with a short passage of scripture. I love to read the passage before the text and the passage after, just to give me a better understanding of that particular text in light of what God's trying to tell me for that day. And then she goes into a wonderful application of that particular passage or text. She's a very gifted writer, but the biggest blessing of having a quiet time is not so much in the author that's written the devotion, but it's just in digging deep into the Word of God. God's Word is alive, it's powerful, it's amazing, and I truly want it to be my greatest treasure.
There are lots of really great devotions that you can do in the morning time. Sometimes I will use Everyday Prayers by Scotty Smith or Oswald Chambers. There's lots of really good ones. But right now I'm looking at Revelation Explained on the Bible app. I really like the Bible app and all the devotions that they have available to you on there. You can search for things that you want to learn about. They do ones that are significant to the holiday or whatever is going on at that time. It's really just a great way to start your day and just be encouraged. I do this with a lot of my friends. We comment back and forth on what we think, what we liked, what we didn't like. It's just a really great way to start your day in the Word.
So here's what we're going to do. We're all going to get really, really uncomfortable again, right? And I'm going to ask everybody in just a moment to stand. I'm going to ask you not to sit and say, I'll just be the same way next year that I am this year. I'm going to ask you to stand and say, I'd like to take a step. Some of you are already in circles and you're already sharing, and thank you. I'm not trying to interfere with what you're doing. I'm not trying to interfere with that at all. I'm trying to reach those of us who aren't. And so we're going to do one of two things. Either you've picked that devotion that you'd like to do, or you find some friends and say, I'd like to grow with you, and which devotion can we do? And then it just tells you on that paper what to do. Decide how you want to share the truth, and if you have text messaging, or great, or if you want to do Facebook, or if you want to write it in a journal and bring it every Sunday and just exchange journals with one another and see what God's doing. Share your information with one another. If you need help getting a book, our church would be happy to help provide one for you at a very low cost. There's papers underneath every one of those green sheets. There's papers where you could say, hey, get me this number of books, and we'll make sure that we get that for you. And or if you want to get it on your own, that's absolutely fine too. And then before you go back to your seats, pray with one another that God does a work in your heart through your gospel circle this year, okay? Again, I realize, I know you're saying, Pastor, you're making us do something we really don't want to do. I know. Either we stay comfortable the way we are and we continue to be who we are, or we step out believing in the promises of God contained in the gospel, saying, I will become a new person this year because of learning the truths of the gospel deeper in my own heart and life. So, would you stand with me? Everybody, would you stand with me? And would you either go to a location? I'm going to put the YouVersion Bible app right up here. Some of you younger, those of you really good at technology may want to do that. And other than that, find someone or go to a location. Make a gospel circle. And then spend some time in prayer together before you return to your seats. We're just going to take a few minutes to do this, so it's on you. Go. I'm excited about what these gospel circles are going to do, both within our church community and then also in the lives of those that we get to touch. And if you know of somebody that's not here that would like to be a part of something, please encourage them to join in your own circle. Let me go on to the next one, and none of the rest are going to take nearly as long as that one, but let me ask you to turn to the next page where it says show the gospel daily, and we're going to talk about how to practically show the gospel daily. Society loves to label people, and labels create divisions. And the gospel looks far beyond the physical divisions and divide that we have, and realizes that it's all about whether we're spiritually going to put our faith in Jesus Christ. But as believers, we're called to display the love of God to the world around us. And you see, if you're looking at the top of that paper, there's a verse in that top orange block. It says in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, some of you might read that and go, "Now that's interesting. How come we shouldn't be doing our good works to the world around us?" Which we should. But when Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples," he said, "by the love you have to one another." I was talking to believers amongst believers, disciples to disciples, and really what should happen is the world outside of Mount Carmel, as they look in and see a group of Christians, they should see such love between the Christians in a church that they say, "Wow." But the truth is, there's oftentimes the love you see outside the church is no different than the love you see inside the church. And if you're in a place where you would say, and so many of you serve so well, but if you're in a place where you'd say, "You know what, I don't necessarily know that I have a way of displaying good works into the church around us, and I'd love to be able to show that," there's a few areas where you could see that our church is in really immediate need of some volunteers. If you'll look with me, it says that we could use a van driver on Wednesdays. We have a family that may struggle to get to church on Wednesdays as an entire family if we don't find a van driver. We have an opportunity for someone to teach a 2 to 3 year old class of Sunday, 2 to 3 year olds in Sunday school. We're in need of a nursery director, someone to help with things like funeral meals. Jane Fogle's in charge of it, but Jane's sometimes out of town and we have no one to turn to when she's out. We're looking for someone to help with our furnace room, which is our prayer room during the 11 o'clock service. Wednesday kids workers, definitely in need of that, as Kyle and Jamie told us earlier. Love for someone to step into an area that we don't have right now, but we'd like to do something for first-time guests in a very special way to help them feel like they're welcomed and loved here at Mount Carmel beyond just what you do so wonderfully. And then also our Christian school could definitely use a substitute teacher. So if any of those would interest you, we'd love to have you give you an opportunity to serve in those locations. But not only are we supposed to love one another, we are supposed to shine as lights in the dark world around us. That second verse you see on the other orange bar says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If you've ever read Tim Keller, Tim Keller is just an incredible gospel-centered man, and he shared once about the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. He actually said, "Have you ever driven by the Washington Monument at night?" He said, "Isn't it beautiful?" He said, "But you know what no one ever says? What beautiful lights. They always say, what a beautiful monument. But you wouldn't see the monument in the dark without the lights." And he said, the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is often in the background, illuminating the work and the love and the person of Jesus Christ in our lives. And he said, and in a Christian's life, our good works are to illuminate the glory of God to the world around us. And that's what we're called to do. And here's something that maybe not everybody knows, but we're living in what's called a post-Christian culture. Post-Christian culture means before too long, there will be more people in our country that will identify with the religion of none than with any other religion. More and more people are just not deciding to worship God, a God, in any way. What that means for us as a church is that the chances that someone pulls into our parking lot just on a whim and walks into this church because they want to is getting smaller and smaller. There used to be a time in our country's history where people would go to church just regularly, and now it's regularly people don't go to church. And so if we're going to be a disciple-making community, we have to understand, David Platt made this statement. He said, "Disciple making is not a call for others to come to us to hear the gospel, but a command for us to go to others to share the gospel." We can't sit back and say, "Oh, just come on in," because they won't. So we have to go to them. I'm going to tell you about two events, and I'm going to get a little personal here. So please, I'm going to ask for grace. And by the way, are you cold? I know you're cold. Are you all cold? Steve, it's just getting a little bit cold up here. I'm going to ask for your grace in this and for your patience to hear me out completely. In 2018, the fall of 2018, we had a missions emphasis. For me, it was my second time of having a missions emphasis time. And the first year went so well. And the second year, we had an international missions dinner that the missions team worked so hard to prepare and get ready for. And I know, I don't remember exactly how many people we had it set up for, but we had a lot of empty tables that night. And to be honest, the missions team who had prepared and done all the work was just a little bit discouraged in the lack of participation of the church. But it wasn't until afterwards where we found out that on that same night where we had scheduled our international missions dinner, the Lou Ray Page football game was going on at the same time, where much of the community and, in fact, much of the church would be going. And Pastor Mike and I talked and said, man, how did we not see that? We can't do that again. And then just a few weeks ago in December, on the third Wednesday of December, we had prepared and planned a kids' Christmas with the pastors. Now, if you were there the year before, we did some wild and crazy stuff, and it was a whole lot of fun. And because the previous year went so well, we thought, well, this year's going to be even better. And so as we prepared and planned and did our ridiculous stuff that we did, it was quite disappointing to come on that Wednesday night and see less than half of the people here this Wednesday as there was last year. And it wasn't until after when we realized, well, we had scheduled that kids' Christmas with the pastor on the same night as our Lou Ray and Paige girls played a basketball game. And once again, so much of our community and even church family was there. And so the pastors and I, we sat down and, well, first thing we said is, how come we're not more aware of these important events in our community? But then that led us to asking, how can we be more involved in these important events of our community? And so we decided that rather than making the community get in the rhythm of Mount Carmel is going to work to get in the rhythm of the community. And we're going to try to see how we can reach beyond our walls and into the community. So Pastor Micah and I worked together this week, and we know coming up in just a short time in the month of January, there's going to be another Paige and Lou Ray basketball game. They do a home and away. And so what we did is we contacted both of the principals and said, can we bring some youth from our youth group and some members of Mount Carmel, and can we pass out popcorn tickets to people who come in and on the back just say, this is from Mount Carmel, we love you, and we want to take the love of Christ to others. But here's the thing, and here's where I need your grace and patience. One of those nights is a Wednesday. If you grew up in church like I did, Wednesday night is reserved for Bible studies, period. The world around us, they don't care about that. The people making schedules, the church schedule doesn't bother them. And so what I would like to ask your grace for is, I know one of those games is a Wednesday, and I'd like to still be there for that with our youth and with our church members, taking the love of Christ there. And in its place, we're going to work, Pastor Mike and I are going to work next Sunday when David Gibbs is here, for that Sunday night to be a huge night for our church. Sunday night where David Gibbs speaks to all the adults, and we have a lot of families here, but also we're going to have youth group next Sunday night, and we're going to have the kids ministry next Sunday night. And I'm not going to do this every week. I'm not trying to abandon Wednesday night Bible studies. That's why I'm asking just please for your grace. We would love to get into the rhythm of the community where we can take the good news of Jesus and just display some works, some good works in the name of Christ to the people around us. So I realize that there's some of you that might sit back and go, man, I don't like that pastor. That's just not the way we do. I know, and I'm sorry. I feel like if we don't take purposeful steps to reach into their rhythms, much of the community is not going to reach into our rhythm. And this may be a chance for us to connect Jesus to people who may not know Jesus. The third thing that we're going to do when we talk about growing in the gospel with community, and that's, let's go to, oh, I'm sorry. At the bottom I wanted to share of under Showing the Gospel Daily, wanted to show you some areas where you, if you and your family would like to volunteer. These are some places that reach into our community, outside of the church, into our community where you might be able to serve, like the Life Center, where crisis pregnancies, Living River, where Dave and his team is reaching into the homes of fatherless children, Arise, where they help a homeless. It's a fairly new ministry here in our community. Our post-release ministry, helping recently incarcerated men. Penny Seal has started just in the last few months, going on Wednesday nights to teach the Bible to ladies who are in prison with other ladies. And then Page One, which is just one of the great social workings in our community. And our Christian school worked together with them in December and volunteered, and they said we could always use volunteers. But here's what I would ask. If you serve in any of those areas, explain why. I'm serving because Jesus served me. I'm here. I will do anything you need me to do. I just want to tell you, I'm here because Jesus loved me, and I want to love on someone else who needs that love. As we grow in the gospel and community, our church offers three different small group Bible studies. We have life groups. Many of them take place on Wednesdays because we have, well, we have childcare for you. We have kids ministry. We have youth group all taking place on Wednesdays. So that's why we have many of them on Wednesdays. But please, you can grow in community in the gospel outside of Wednesday nights. And if Wednesday nights don't work for you, let us come alongside you if you need help. But we'd love to encourage you to anytime. Look for areas to grow in the gospel and community. Our equip groups meet on Sunday mornings. I think I heard the number this morning, 139. Is that right, Steve? Did I overhear you say that? 139 people came to an equip class today. You understand we had about close to 100 people in our first service, and we have this many in the second service. That means we have a lot of people not connecting at a very easy time to connect. It would mean for this group, come an hour early, get your kids involved, get your teens involved. Get you involved in a smaller group where you can study the Bible together with community. Or if you ever come to the 8:30 service, all it means is just stay in an extra hour. It's an easy time. You don't have to drive somewhere else. You're already here. And we have such incredible teachers, such gifted men and women who lead these equip classes. And I'd love to encourage you to be a part of one. And then we have our home groups. Man, I don't know if there's anything more of these community, or if there's anything more that we've done recently that I would love to see us be a part of. We take the Sunday morning sermon, give you a couple discussion questions, and just say, hey, go to someone's home and talk about the Bible. Eat together, take your families and study the Bible together, and grow in community. And I know the group that comes to our house, I love meeting with them. I look forward to these days. I realize for some of you, that's just a little bit out of, well, what is normal? May I encourage you? Would you take one of the first 2 months of the year? Would you try it? Would you be willing to say, I'll go once. I'll just see what it's like. I believe if you were to see what it's like, that you would love it, and you would look for those ways to grow in community. And what matters is what we do together. Not when we do it together. And so let's grow in community. And then last, let's go with the gospel to the world. As the gospel grows deeper in our hearts, there should be an overflow that automatically spreads out to those who are around us, that they feel the love of God coming out of us. And some of you do that in such amazing ways. The way you use your words, the way you use your encouragement, the way you love people around you, the love of God in the gospel just exudes out of your life. So how do we take the gospel to the world? First, we have to go to our own. We are willing to talk weather, sports, and politics with our family members, but we rarely want to get into the subject. We want to get into the avenue of faith. I think sometimes it's because we're just not used to it. We're really scared of it. So I'd practically like to encourage us in this one area. This Wednesday night, as our kids have kids ministry and as the youth have their youth groups, I'd love for the adults to gather in here. And what we're going to do is we're going to share our own testimonies with one another. We're going to celebrate what God has done in our lives and what God is continuing to do in our lives so we can become used to speaking how God works in my life. Because I told you last week, the greatest evangelism tool you have is your testimony. How has God worked in your heart and worked in your life? And the more we share it, the more comfortable we will become sharing it. Secondly, we've got to go with the gospel to our town. So we're going to do two things. In February, when we start our new life group sessions, the second Wednesday of February, one of them is going to be how to share your faith. John Thomas is going to teach that. And he's going to take a small group and that wants to say, I want to know how to share my faith with friends and family. We want to teach you. We want to encourage you. We want to equip you to be able to share your faith to the community around you. But then also, as pastors, we're going to work together for some outreach activities this year where we purposely take the gospel. One of them I look forward to, don't know how, don't know where, don't know when yet, but we want to have a worship service on Main Street where we gather together and we play music and Pastor Micah sings, and or maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. We're going to have a worship service out there. We're gonna sing and we're going to present the gospel on Main Street to whoever comes. And that's where I would encourage you to get involved and bring somebody with you. We're going to have prayer walks. A prayer walk where we don't walk past houses, where we walk to houses and say, how can we pray for you? And do you know Jesus? And we'll have a few others that I look forward to. But then also, we must take the gospel to the world. Last week, we had 33 young people and one first grader that stood to say, I want to give $10 a week to getting a missionary on the field. And I love what that's done. Cade stopped me on Thursday and said, can I just give it all at one time? Or do I have to do $10 every month, or can I just do it all at once? Kara stopped me this morning and said, how do we do that? Three or four people throughout the week had stopped and said, how do we start? Man, thank you. And if you weren't here last week and you'd like to be a part of it, we just encourage anybody 30 and under to give $10 a month towards getting a family to the mission field. Their names are Nate and Tara Beal. When I called Nate last Sunday afternoon to speak with him, he was so encouraged because just last week he had a church drop him financially because their missions giving had gone down. And he hasn't even gone to the field yet, and he's wanting to get into the field, and he saw his missions support go down last week, and then he had no idea what our church was doing. And I got to call him and say, hey, 34 people from our church, young people from our church, want to help you. And so he wanted to say thank you.
Here, missionaries to Latin America with Core Missions.
Hi, we just wanted to give y'all a quick update. We have added a third kid to our little brood since we have seen y'all in March, and her name is Adeline Rose, and we are set to leave in June for the country of Chile, and you are actually going to be able to have a huge hand in that, and we cannot thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you so much. Pastor Brian called me this week, and it was such an encouragement. I told him actually that it was a discouraging week to that point, and that was a huge encouragement for us to hear that we had 34 young people agree to partner with us at $10 a month for the next year to help us get to the field. That is such a huge blessing, and it's going to be a big help to allow us to get to the field. We're excited to spend our first 2 years on the foreign field there in Chile doing language training and then working with a missionary that our ministry already partners with to help plant a few churches with national pastors. And you are going to have fruit that is abounding to your account for helping us get there. So we just want to say thank you so much. We hope to see you again soon.
Thank you.
And starting next week, there's going to be envelopes in your in the chairs where you're at, where those of you who committed to it will be able to give, whether it's $10 a month, whether it is you want to give all of it at one time, and you'll be able to start doing that next week as we get those envelopes. We also have a team going to the world, to this country of Zambia, and we're going to introduce them, not next week when David Gibbs is here, but the following week, and we're going to pray over them and ask God to continue to prepare their hearts, prepare their financially, prepare them in every way to be able to go and share the gospel. I also hope to plan a fall missions trip to the Philippines, and also hope that we can look towards 2021 and having a huge missions trip with this church, because we have grown, we've shown, we are growing. I'm sorry, we were knowing, we're showing, we're growing, and now we're going to go, and we're excited about it. So pray how God can use you, and pray that God does use you in this next year to come. I really do believe that if our church gets excited about living gospel above all lives, we'll see changes. I see this baptistry being used far more than it is right now. As we live gospel above all lives, and we see our friends and our family and our coworkers and fellow students coming to Christ because we are living lives, putting the gospel above all. I see families growing and excitedly coming to church and excitedly opening their Bibles together at home and excitingly sharing truths because moms and dads have the gospel working deep within them. I'm excited because I see teenagers unashamedly inviting their friends to church and to youth group, but not for blacklight dodgeball, but because you actually have a burden in your heart for their souls, because you want them to know Jesus. I see many of you that have children that have grown and left your home, and I see you taking the opportunities to go and visit the mission field and partner together with gospel projects that need you. I see some of our older congregation who somehow thinks, well, I'm too old to get involved, to say, I'm not going to sit on the sideline and spend the last years of my life just on vacation. I want to get involved in the kingdom. And seeing how we as a church all together can take wonderful steps forwards. I will never forget Archie Webster sitting in his church house over there right across from the hospital. He is Forest Ministries, where he said, hey, Brian, I'll tell you what I'm praying for. Praying that one day there will be more people that come to Page County because of the glory of God than because of the Luray Caverns. That's never left my heart. That'll never happen if we live ashamed of the gospel. That'll never happen if we don't decide to live gospel above all lives. What if Mount Carmel, as Aaron even mentioned, what if this church is what God is waiting for to make that dream come true? That this church is a part of however God decides he wants to do to make this little Page Valley a beacon of gospel light that people sit back and go, wow. How'd that little church and that little community, how are they able to do that? And we could say, oh, we didn't do anything. He did it all. All we did was place him above all in our lives. Are we willing to do that? Father, I thank